Welcome to the Simple Bible Course. My name is Josh Watson, and this is Session 12, King David. Last time we covered the lives of Samuel and Saul, that is, the first prophet and first king of the nation of Israel. After Moses and Joshua, the nation of Israel had a series of leaders called judges, about six judges in all. And at the end of that time, a man named Samuel was born. Samuel was dedicated to the Lord's service from his birth, and so he grew up serving in the tabernacle, helping Eli the priest. Once he grew up and the nation of Israel demanded a king, God told him, Samuel, to anoint Saul as the first king. And Saul started off as a good king, but soon turned away and began to disobey God. Therefore, God took away the kingdom from Saul's family and gave it to another man, and that man was David. And Samuel anointed him, David, as the next king. Soon afterwards, David fought and killed Goliath, became a leader of the Israelite army, and was so successful that King Saul began trying to kill him out of jealousy. David escaped every time, even spared Saul's life twice, and waited until it was God's timing for him to become the next king. And that's where we pick up the story now. King Saul has just died in battle, and now the book of 2 Samuel begins. David wasn't involved in that battle, so he heard about the death of King Saul from someone who had escaped. That messenger told David that the Israelite army was forced to retreat, that many soldiers had died, and that King Saul and his son, Jonathan, were also dead. Hearing this, David tore his clothes, fasted, wept, and even wrote a lament out of respect for King Saul and his love for his friend Jonathan. And once that was over, David immediately took over the position of king in Hebron. However, even though the prophet Samuel anointed David to be the next king, not everybody in Israel acknowledged David as the new king right away. And the reason was because the commander of the Israelite army went and took one of Saul's other sons who had survived, was still alive, and crowned him as the next king of Israel. So while David was king in the south over Judah, Saul's son Ishbosheth was king over the rest of Israel. But this division didn't last too long. There was a constant war going on between the two kings, David and Ishbosheth, and the Bible says that David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul, or Ishbosheth, grew weaker and weaker. And by the fourth chapter of 2 Samuel, Ishbosheth was no longer king anymore. He was actually killed by two of his own men. And so David was re-anointed as king over all of Israel. All 12 tribes were now entirely under David. And as soon as David officially became king over all Israel, he moved the capital from Hebron to Jerusalem and made Jerusalem the center of his rule and remained as king there for another 33 years. And the Bible very specifically says that David was becoming greater and greater as a king because, quote, the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. Now, once the Philistines heard that David had become Israel's new king, they immediately came up against Israel in battle. David led the Israelite army, and Israel won that battle. Then the Philistines regrouped and tried once again to attack and defeat the Israelites. But once again, the Philistines failed. God helped David lead the Israelites to another victory. Now, if you remember, at the beginning of 1 Samuel, the Israelites took the Ark of the Covenant into battle with them because they thought that it would help them win their battle. Of course, it didn't. God was the one who could help them. He was the only one who could help them, and he wasn't restricted to a box. And besides, the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be kept in the Holy of Holies inside the tabernacle. Anyway, the story goes that the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant in that battle. Of course, eventually the Ark of the Covenant was sent back to the Israelites because the Philistines suffered horrible diseases as long as it was with them. But ever since that time, the Ark of the Covenant was being kept in the house of a man named Abinadab. So, now that David was king, he decided that he would go and bring the Ark of the Covenant out of the man's house and up to Jerusalem, the capital city and the main place of worship for Israel. However, even though David was wanting to do a good thing, something bad happened. They weren't careful, those who were bringing up the Ark of the Covenant, weren't careful to make sure that only Levites were handling the Ark of the Covenant. And so as they were bringing the Ark to Jerusalem, a man stretched out his hand to keep the Ark from tipping over, and immediately that man was struck dead by God. The Ark of the Covenant had very specific instructions given with it, which included that only Levites handle it. God's presence was a very serious thing. Seeing what had happened to this man, David was shocked and immediately scared to bring the ark to the place where he was living in Jerusalem. So instead, he had the ark taken to a man's house whose name was Obed-Edom. But after 3 months, when David saw that this man was continually being blessed by God because of the ark being with him, David had the ark finally brought to Jerusalem, and that's where it remained. Then we come to a very important event in the life of David and in the history of Israel. David got to thinking that here he was living in a king's palace, but the Ark of the Covenant was still being kept inside a tent. You see, the tabernacle was just a tent, even though it was a very nice one, because it needed to be taken down and put back up all the time while the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. So David wanted to build a very nice permanent place for the Ark of the Covenant and for worshiping God. Sounded like a very good idea. In fact, even when the prophet at that time named Nathan heard about this idea, he thought it was great. So Nathan just told David, "Sounds good, go ahead and do it." However, that night God spoke to the prophet Nathan and told him that he didn't want David building a permanent house for the Ark of the Covenant, but that he had other plans. Instead, this is the message that God gave for David. God said, "Until now, I have not asked you to build a permanent house for me because that is not my will. Instead, I have other plans. I took you from being a shepherd and made you king over all Israel and have given you victory against all your enemies in battle. And I will continue to be with you. I have made your name great and I will make it even greater. Not only that, but the kingdom of Israel will remain in your family and your son will be king after you. He is the one that I want to build a permanent house for the Ark of the Covenant and for worship. Your son is the one I've chosen. And your son will be king after you, and I will be with him also. And furthermore, the kingdom of Israel will never leave your family the way it left Saul's family. Instead, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Pretty amazing stuff. All these promises God made to David, and it became known as the Davidic covenant, the covenant between God and David that the kingdom of Israel would remain in David's family forever, which of course meant that the Messiah, who was eventually to be born and rule over Israel forever, would come from David's family line. And as we know, Jesus was born into the line of King David, fulfilling this promise. But not only that, the other promises in the Davidic covenant were also fulfilled, starting right after this event. The next thing we read in 2 Samuel is that David went out to battle again and defeated the Philistines, Moab, Zobah, Syria, Ammon, and Edom. It says the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. So David became very successful and powerful, and he was very popular with the people because he ruled well with equity and justice. And like I mentioned last lesson, it was about this time that he also honored his past friendship with Jonathan, Saul's son, by being very kind to one of Jonathan's sons, Mephibosheth, who was handicapped. He gave Mephibosheth land and let him eat at the king's table every day. But this is where the happy story of David's life ends, and everything begins to fall apart and turn into problems. It all started when one day King David was out walking on his roof in the early evening and saw a beautiful woman named Bathsheba bathing. He sent someone to find out about her, and it turned out that she was the wife of one of David's best soldiers, a man named Uriah. But unfortunately, that wasn't enough to warn David, and so he had her brought to the palace and he slept with her. Well, soon afterwards, Bathsheba sent a message to the king saying that she had become pregnant. David then tried to think quickly of what to do and decided to send a message to the commander of his army to have Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, sent back from the battle to Jerusalem. David wanted him to be with his wife as soon as possible so that hopefully he would think the child is his. However, this plan of David did not work. Uriah did come back, but he refused to go to his house and be with his wife because all the other soldiers were out sleeping on the battlefield. And so he thought, why should I get to go enjoy the luxury of my home, my wife, and a nice bed? This concerned David quite a bit because the plan had failed, and so he quickly came up with another idea. David then wrote a note and had Uriah take that note to the commander of the Israelite army. And this is what it said. It said, place Uriah at the front of the battle where the fighting is the most fierce so that he will get struck down and die. David thought that if Uriah died, then he could take Bathsheba for himself right away and maybe no one would notice anything. As it turns out, Uriah did end up dying in battle because of the note and its instruction. And David did take Bathsheba for himself very soon afterwards. But David's troubles and the consequences of his sin were about to begin. In fact, it was Nathan, the prophet, that came to David to confront him on his sin and to tell him that there would be lots of trouble in his house as a result, that his wives would be taken away, and that the baby born to Bathsheba would die. David would be forgiven for his sins and live, but he had dishonored God by his actions. And sure enough, even though David fasted and prayed, the baby that Bathsheba gave birth to soon died, causing them both much grief. But not too long afterwards, they had another child, a boy, whom they named Solomon. But then right after that, we read about more grief in the house of David, when one of David's sons, named Amnon, raped one of his own sisters. This news got back to Absalom, another son of David's, and he started looking for the opportunity to take revenge on Amnon. 2 years later, the perfect opportunity arose when Absalom threw a feast and invited all his brothers to join him. Then, when his brother Amnon was drunk with wine, Absalom had him killed. So the trouble that Nathan said would come to David's house as a result of his sin was definitely taking place. David's baby died, his daughter was raped by her brother, and that brother was murdered by another brother. And that wasn't the end of it. Absalom, the son of David that killed Amnon, started conspiring against his father, David, for the kingdom, for the throne. He would get up early in the morning and stand at the gate of the city and then listen to people's problems. And then he would say, you see, there's no one appointed by the king to listen to and take care of your problems. If I were the king, though, I would make sure that everyone was heard and that everyone received justice. So little by little, Absalom started winning over the hearts of the people of Israel. And once he felt that he had a strong enough following, Absalom sent messengers throughout all Israel, went to Hebron, and just declared himself the new king. Of course, big news like this quickly reached David, and so he decided to just leave Jerusalem because he didn't want to fight a battle there that would take people's lives and ruin the city. So he and a bunch of his men left the city of Jerusalem and headed east toward the Judean wilderness and the Jordan River. And once he heard that Absalom's army was chasing after him, he crossed over to the other side of the Jordan River. By this time, Absalom had already taken over in Jerusalem and set himself up as the new self-proclaimed king of Israel. But just to make sure David wasn't coming back, he and his soldiers went and pursued David and his army. But not only did they end up losing to David's army in that battle, but while Absalom was riding his horse, he got his head caught in a tree, was later found by David's men and killed. Of course, David actually wanted Absalom to be kept alive, but the commander who found Absalom obviously thought otherwise. David then returned to Jerusalem and continued his reign as king of Israel. And God continued to be with David and to help him in all his battles. And just as David's reign was coming to an end, he decided to take a census of all the people of Israel in order to see how big his kingdom was. This must have been caused by David's pride, because David knew right away after the census was completed that he had done something very wrong. He then prayed to God and confessed his sin, but God told David that he had to choose from three possible punishments. Number one, God would either send 3 years of famine. Number two, or God would cause David to be pursued by his enemies for 3 months. Or number three, God would send a disease throughout all of Israel for 3 days. After hearing these options, David finally concluded that he would rather put himself in the hands of God than in the hands of men, because God is very merciful. So David chose the third option, pestilence or disease for 3 days. And as a result, many people died in Israel, making the census pointless. This brings us to the end of the life and rule of King David. David started out as a shepherd in the town of Bethlehem, but when King Saul turned away from God, he was anointed by Samuel the prophet to be the next king of Israel. He then bravely fought Goliath, led the Israelite army to many victories, and was chased by King Saul because of his jealousy. But once King Saul died, David took over as king in Hebron. At first, he only ruled over one tribe, with Saul's son Ishbosheth ruling over the rest of Israel. But David immediately grew strong and very soon took over as king over all 12 tribes. And God was with David, and so he continued to increase in power, defeating all his enemies, and was given a great promise from God that the kingdom would always remain in his family. This is otherwise known as the Davidic covenant. But as soon as David took advantage of his power in order to commit adultery and arrange a soldier's death, his triumphs in life turned into trouble. There were lots of problems in his family and difficulties in his life from that point on. In all, David ruled 40 years as Israel's king. He was a man of great faith in God and best known as a man after God's own heart. Next session, we'll look at the life and rule of Israel's next king, Solomon, who was given much wisdom from God and had a reign of peace.